Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for Pastor Neely and his mother for praying for him in that way, Lord. Where would we be without the prayers of our mothers, Lord? And we're thankful for them. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you just be with us as we look at Hannah's prayer this morning. I pray that you would just help us to see the importance of the prayers of our mother, but more than that, Lord, that you care for us, that you love us, that you provide for us, and Lord, that you bless us, especially through your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. And Lord, I'm so thankful this morning for this. Be with us. We open up your word, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead, or if you click them on your phone or whatever it is that you use, go to 1 Samuel. And you'll notice if you look on the back of your bulletin, if you're looking for James this morning, you'll have to find him next week. As I was praying this week in our prayer meeting on Thursday, we were looking at Hannah's prayer, and I can say the sermon changed pretty much right there. And it's kind of interesting because as I was looking at this and trying to figure out what to preach about, God kind of made me wait. And it's amazing to me that some other things I had to come in contact with and listen to. And, you know, so this morning I was sitting there thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? And in about 20 minutes, this came about. So this is what we're going to work off. Normally I have all these pages, but this is all I got me. So 1 Samuel chapter 1. Where would we be without the prayers of our mother? I think about in my own life how my mother also prayed for me. When she was 6 months pregnant with me, she was baptized. And she always told me I was baptized twice. She always thought something special was going to happen. And I never saw it. And it wasn't until years later that I came into the ministry, much later. But my mom has always prayed for me, always encouraged me. In years that I wandered away, it was her that was always praying me back into the faith and always encouraging me. And to this day, she still prays for me and encourages me and is a great source of comfort just knowing that she's there. I also have a wife that prays for me. She's the mother of my three boys. She's a great mom and she's a great wife and doesn't put up with much raising three boys and putting up with me all those years. Four boys. She's raised four boys. We can say that. I want to look at Hannah's prayer this morning. Maybe you know about Hannah. Maybe you don't know about Hannah. I love the Old Testament, and Hannah's one of these people that kind of just sticks out. At least for me. I've been reading through the Bible, and I get to this part, and I'm always struck by Hannah's prayer. Because of who she is, and we'll get into that a little bit, but I'm just her sincerity of her prayer. 11, taking a vow, she pleaded to the Lord. And I just want to give you just a little bit story on Hannah before I read this, is that Hannah, she was the wife of Elkanah, and he has two wives. One wife has children. In this time of Israel, or this time of history, not to have children was a shame. It wasn't just a shame for you, but it was for your whole family because your nation, your people, either lived or died without children. If you didn't have children, you didn't progress as a people. You didn't exist anymore as a people. So it was a national thing that you had children. Because if you want to survive as a nation, you needed to have kids. So women, everybody was on board about everybody having kids. So when you couldn't have kids, it was a shame. And you can see that Hannah couldn't have children. And so she prays. And the other wife is kind of interesting, made fun of her and actually like antagonized her. And so you can imagine the anguish. Every year she's going up and she's praying for children and she can't have children. And the other women, she's just having children like crazy. And poor Hannah can't. But her husband loves her all the same. And I love the one line, if you look at it, this is so typical. You know, there's some things that you read in Scripture and you go, That is such a guy, right? Listen, you'll hear, the women will understand this. The guys will kind of get it. She's crying. He's giving her food, gives her the same portion, gives her a double portion, wanting to know how much he loves her despite her not being able to have children. This is what he says. Hannah, why are you crying? He says to her. Her husband, Elkanah, asked, why won't you eat? Why are you troubled? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You see, a husband, he's got to make it all about himself, right? Ain't I better than 10 sons? See, I know the women, because I can hear my wife. Oh, so typical that a guy would say a statement like that. No, I want children. I don't want 10 of you, right? So we see this background. She goes up and she pleads her case before the Lord at the tabernacle. And she says this, making a vow. She pleaded with the Lord of hosts. This is verse 11. If you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget about me, and give your servant a son, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut. First of all, if we look at this prayer that she makes, this vow, she first thing she does in her anguish, she doesn't point her finger at God, does she? She says, Lord of hosts. She's acknowledging right there that God is in control, that it's not her. She's not blaming God. She's acknowledging that God is in control. God, the Lord of hosts, it's all yours. It's all yours. She asked God, the Lord of hosts, to notice her affliction. Look at my affliction. See that what I'm going through. She's pleading a case, the same case that the Israelites did coming out of the land of Egypt. Acknowledge the affliction. We're in slavery. You can look all through the Bible. You see prayers and prayers again. Lord, see my affliction. Playing upon the God's grace and his mercy. Asking for him to intercede. And then we see that she makes a promise that if she's given a son, that she will give that son to the service of the Lord. I mean, just think about that. Her heart is for God to be glorified. I will give my son, and he'll be in dedication to you. And I love that because we see that she goes home and she becomes pregnant. She weans her only son, and then she comes back. And this is what it says in verse 26. Please, may the Lord, she said, be sure as you live, my Lord. I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. And I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me, and I asked for him, for I now give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he will be given to the Lord. And then look at Eli the priest. This is his response to her giving of her only son. Then he bowed down in worship to the Lord there. She gave her son, and Eli worshiped. And I love this, that God continued to bless her, because if you look over in the second chapter, you will see in verse 21 that the Lord paid attention to Hannah's need. And she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And that he blessed her through this act. That he saw her need and provided her so much more. But I love that. See, there's a bigger story here that's happening when you look at Israel. When you look at Israel, Israel was a mess. It was a mess at the time of Hannah when she made this prayer. They had no leadership. If you remember at the end of Judges, the last book of Judges, on the last chapter of Judges, on the last verse, it says this. It says, in these days, there is no king in Israel, and everyone did whatever he wanted. And we see here Eli's sons, who's taking care of the tabernacle, they're evil. They're taking advantage of the people's sacrifice. They're taking food that is not theirs. And they're taking advantage of the women. And the people know they're evil. And yet these are the people leading Israel at the time. And if you look at it in chapter 3, just go a couple chapters up in verse 1, it'll say that God, the boy Samuel, served Eli's presence. In those days, it says this, the word of the Lord was rare and prophetic visions were not widespread. So God wasn't talking. There's no leadership. It's just a mess. And then I find it amazing, too, as you look at the lineage of Hilkiah, he's a nobody. When you look up who his lineage is, he's nobody. Hannah is nobody. It's not like they're from a kingly line. There's nothing about them that's significant whatsoever. They're just common, average people. And that's the whole point of that first chapter, is to show you a lineage that they're not of a special line. They're just common, normal people, regular people. Nothing special about them. And I think about my own story. My mother, if you don't know, I came from an abusive background. The first 8 years that I was growing up, I grew up in Pontiac, Michigan. My mother had moved there with my dad. That's where he's from. You know, and everything seemed so great and wonderful when he was in the Navy and in the Bay Area and Alameda, and they moved to Pontiac. Got away from her family, and my dad changed. He was a different man. And I was born in that. So was my sister. And he became abusive. And it came to the point where, after 8 years, my mom was literally worrying and fleeing for her life. She was put out to work, and he would take her paychecks. And when she didn't comply, there was pain. For all of us. And it got to the point where my mom fled. She packed up. She got him to sign for the house. She traded the kids for the house. That's how I was freed. She said, I'll give you the house if you just give me the kids and let me leave the state of Michigan. And he signed it. And so my mom fled to California. And we had nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. We were homeless. My grandmother took us in. And I think back on it now. I mean, as an eight-year-old, I didn't know what was happening. It was just all a big blur to me. And I look back and I go, wow, what an amazing that mom did what she did and that God took care of us. And I read this story of Hannah. I have to think about Hannah's nobody in this story. So what's the story here? What's this big question? And the big question here, I think, that comes out of this story is, does God care? Does God care? See, I look around, and maybe you don't notice, maybe you got your head in the sand, but I see a lot of hurt in the world. Maybe it's just lately I see this. I see pain. I see people I know and love who are passing away. We've lost three of them in the last month and a half right here in this church. I see people I know who are dying of cancer. Literally. I see others struggling with cancer. I see broken families. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you know that. I see a nation that I'm in that seems to totally have lost its way. We don't even know who we are anymore, which is just amazing to me. And I look around the world, and I have to ask the question, does God care about what's happening? Maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you haven't, but I have. And when I see Hannah's story, what I love about Scripture, what I see here is that God does care. Yes, He does care. Hannah means, if you don't know what her name means grace. Grace. God blessed her by granting her request. In fact, she named Samuel, who would rise up to be the leader that Israel named. His name means God's request. Grace and God's request. What an amazing, the names in the Bible are amazing in the way that they're used. But we see God's grace. And I think about my own life and that how God showed grace to my own family. I look at it how God took care of us as we moved in with our grandmother. She provided for us. She provided a house for us. I look at my stepdad came into my life, and he provided for us. I didn't grow up not having what I needed. It wasn't perfect by no means, but I had everything that I needed. God looked out for us. He provided for us. I was never in want. I think about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He did. He took care of us. I lacked nothing in life. All my life, God has taken care of me. I just look back and I can see it. Anytime I find myself struggling with the things around me in the world, God always reminds me of where I've been, where I've come from, how God has walked with me, how he's never forsaken me. And maybe you are sitting there right now, and I hope what's happening is that God is working in your heart right now. Maybe you're facing something that is super difficult, that is beyond you. And God is reminding you right now how he's walked with you all the days of your life. He's been watching over you. He's placed people in your life. He's provided for you. He's cared for you. He's loved for you, loved you all this time. And he never stops. He never stops. And he blesses us and takes care of us. One of the things I think about in this life is that when we go through difficult times, the promises of God, and those promises aren't that he's going to take something away from us. How many of you have prayed for something just to be removed and God did not remove it? Because he allowed it to happen. And if he does that, what is he going to do? See, what he does promise that he'll walk with us. That he'll care with us. He'll care for us through it. It doesn't always mean that you're not going to endure pain or suffering or even loss in this life, but he does promise to walk alongside you. He does promise to make all things work together for good for his purpose of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's building our faith. He uses everything in God's economy. It's not wasted. Everything that happens to us in our lives is used for God, by God, to build our faith and our trust in him. Even though we can't see, God blesses us, watches over us. And sometimes it takes years for us to get beyond something, to look back and go, wow, if that wouldn't have happened in the way that it did, I would not be where I am today. That God used it for good. I can look back on my own story. I come from coming from a broken family, abusive father, different things. And although God reconciled all that, at the end of my dad's life, I had a beautiful relationship with him. He fixed all of that. And I can talk to people today of other people who come from broken families. I can speak because I know what it is. I know what it's like to come from a divorce. As a child, I can speak to them. God uses it still to this day for the benefit of others. Would I want to go back through that again? No way. No way. But to think that God can take even that and use it for his good and glory, wow. Wow. That should give you goosebumps. No matter what you're facing, God is going to take and use it. Even though you can't understand it right now. I trust that. I believe that with all my heart. And this is when we read Hannah's prayer. We can see that she's given her son. She prays this prayer of triumph. And Charlie already read it, but I'm going to read it again from a different translation. But you can just follow along. And now that you have like a backdrop to the story, you can hear Hannah's prayer. "My heart rejoices in the Lord," Hannah says. "My horn is lifted up to the Lord." And that's a downcast head being lifted up. I mean, how many of you have just, God raises your head up to look? I can do this. He lifted up by the Lord. And I love that he lifted it up. "My mouth boasts over my enemy," because I bet she was so happy to have a child. Look at the other wife. "Yes, God has blessed me. Because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not boast proudly or let arrogant words come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and actions are weighted by him. The bows of the warriors are broken, but the feeble are clothed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out of food, but those who are starving hunger no more. The woman who is childless gives birth to seven, but the woman with many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and he gives life. He sends some to Sheol and he raises others up. The Lord brings poverty and gives wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the garbage pile. He sets them with the noblemen and gives them a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and he sets the world upon them. He guards the steps of his faithful ones, but the wicked perish in darkness. For the man does not prevail in his own strength. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered, and he will thunder in the heavens against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give power to his king, and he will lift up the horn of his anointed." Amen? Amen? You know, in the last little bit of that verse, I don't know if you catch it or not. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he'll give power to his king. Israel had no king at that time. So the question is, who's Hannah talking about? Who's she pointing to? She doesn't even probably know it. But I believe she's pointing to Christ. That there is one time in Israel, God's going to raise up a king like no other king, a king who will rule, and a king who is full of grace. And we see that it's pointing to the ultimate grace. Hannah's name, Grace, she's pointing to the ultimate grace, who would be Jesus Christ. And we know that all the promises of God, remember in 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. So she's pointing. I believe the scripture is pointing to Christ. See, God is going to raise up a king, and Jesus, this King Jesus, is going to reign forever. And in Christ, he's going to lift the heads of the humble. He's going to lift the heads of the poor and the ones who are struggling in this life. I take comfort in that. Because if you look at Hannah's prayer, a lot of it was centered on the hungry and the poor and the ones who had nothing. And Jesus says he's going to lift their heads, lift the heads of his anointed. In Christ, you see, we find this fulfillment. We find the fulfillment of everything that we're seeking in this life. If you're looking for something to fulfill yourself with other than Jesus Christ, it's going to fall short. If you're trying to find it in a spouse, if you're trying to find it in whatever it is that you like to do, in work, music, whatever. If you're trying to find your fulfillment in something other than Christ, it's going to fall short. Because he is the fulfillment of all things. in Christ, we find all that we need. And from that, we can do so much more because we are now operating in His strength, in His power, in His grace. And what can stop you? Can death? Can sin? Can any of that stop you? In Christ, you are unstoppable because it's Christ who's doing the work. It's the Christ who's working in us. Does God care? Yes. And we can rejoice in knowing that God is our rock and our salvation. We can rejoice in knowing that God hears our prayers and that no one is insignificant in the kingdom of God. No one is insignificant in the kingdom of God. Everyone matters. No one is insignificant. Not a mother who's left to take care of two kids with nothing, fleeing the state of Michigan. Not someone dying of cancer. Or a mother who's left on her own. Not to the lonely. Not the tired and wore out. Not the depressed. God cares for every single one of them. He hears us. He hears us. And He cares for us. That's the significance of Anna's story. That the insignificant is heard. And made a difference in the kingdom of God. That's what we see in the story of Hannah. We see God's grace on display. This morning, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to see the world in a different way. I want you to see the world in the way that God sees it, in the way that Christ sees it. And take comfort in knowing that God truly is good and that you can trust Him. And that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, for our sins. And that in Christ we are alive. In Christ we have forgiveness. In Christ we can know God. And we can be blessed. And so I want to ask you this morning, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Have you put your full trust in Christ with all your heart to trust Him? Or maybe you're facing something this morning and it just seems like it's too much, too much right now. I'm going to ask you to trust in Christ, to place your faith in Christ, and to believe, in Him. Not in yourself, not someone else, not Pastor Steve, but Christ. And to trust Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Hannah's story. I thank You that, Lord, You did take someone that didn't seem to much matter in the grand scheme of things, but she mattered to You. And I'm thankful for that, that You heard her prayers and You answered them, Lord, and that You blessed the nation because of her faithfulness. I think about my own mother, Lord, how You also blessed her faithfulness. Lord, how You watched over all of us. And I know right now, Lord, there's people out here that are sitting, that are looking back on their lives right now, and they're remembering how God has provided for them, how You've watched over them, how You've taken care of them. And Lord, I pray right now for that person that You would just encourage them, that Your presence would be felt in their hearts and they would know they're not alone, that You are with them. And Lord, I also pray for the person now, Lord, who has not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe this is something new to them this morning, and that their hearts are being opened right now, Lord, as I speak, and that you're revealing yourself to them. Lord, I pray that you would bring them into Christ. I pray that they would place their faith in Jesus, that they would believe in their hearts and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, Lord. That we're not just accepting something, Lord, but we're surrendering our life to Christ. And all of us in this room right now, Lord, I pray that we would surrender our lives to Christ, that we would trust Christ in all things. Lord, and I thank you for your scriptures, and I thank you for your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.